iFaith 63 from the book of Revelation, a message entitled The Lion, the Lamb, and the Lord's People. Last time, Revelation 3, we looked at Laodicea and the lukewarm. And we saw that in the illustration Jesus uses, cold and hot are good, but lukewarm is not. And their lukewarmness in Laodicea was a result of materialism. They love the world. They put their confidence and their trust in things and power and money. And to appreciate that little letter, it was necessary to know something about Laodicea's history and even geography, where they were located. Many passages of the Bible are reasonably clear, but to have a full understanding, frequently it's important to go further and to appreciate disciplines like history, geography, theology, and so forth. Well, today we're going to preach from Revelation chapter 5. That is, again, it'll just be a short passage, although here we'll be looking at the whole chapter. And I will begin. Let's do it. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and look into it. So we have a throne, and this is a divine throne, and a scroll written within and on the back. Normally a scroll was only written on one side, and then you would roll it up and seal it. And on the outside, you would simply write the address. You know, this is for this person. And you wouldn't, but this is written on both sides. So it's a very important message, and it's sealed. So that is, no one is to read it until it's the right time. And it has seven seals. Now, this is not your normal scroll, right? And the angel says, who is worthy to open it? And no one is worthy. It says in heaven, where we find the angels, on earth, where we are, or under the earth, the realm of the dead. In the ancient world, they viewed heaven as being up in the sky, and the realm of the dead, Sheol or Hades, they viewed as being down, under the earth. Of course, it's not a geographical up, but a geographical down. It's simply the way they envisioned it. But there certainly is a Hades, and there certainly is a heaven. So opening the seals will determine what happens in history. It's significant. In fact, opening the seals will bring on a series of severe judgments. Let's just take a step back. The book of Revelation is written probably shortly before the year 100. At this time, persecution against the Christians, particularly in the area of Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Laodicea, all those places, it's really increasing. There was Roman persecution earlier in the year 64, in the year 64 AD, under Nero. But most of the first century it's not the Romans who are the problem. It's people whose interests are threatened who are the problem. Certain economic concerns, the Jewish hierarchy and establishment. But in the second century, it's going to be different. There are going to be some big Roman persecutions on and off. Same in the third century and same in the early fourth century. And then no more persecution from the Romans. With this in mind, Revelation is written to give heart and to give hope to God's people. He's asking them to look behind the scenes, look behind the curtain, so to speak, and you'll see that Rome is not invincible. Her success is not guaranteed. She thinks of herself as a goddess. In fact, they had a god. The Romans had a god called Roma. The city of Rome itself is a god. And so they thought that they were invincible, unstoppable, unconquerable. But that's not the case, because Caesar, that is the emperor in Rome, is really just a little man. The king of all kings, the lord of all lords, is the one we serve. And so in Revelation, we look behind the scenes and we see cosmic reality, and it's not the image being projected by the Roman government and military and those who create the propaganda. So this is meant to be encouraging. No one is worthy to open it. Not in the celestial realm, the terrestrial realm, or the infernal realm. There's a mighty angel, there are elders, there are other characters, but no one is worthy. Now we come to Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Weep no more, says the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and that's a reference to Genesis 49. And the next prophecy referred to is Isaiah 11, which I was reading this morning in my quiet time, the Root of David. He has conquered. So who has conquered? Rome viewed itself as, well, let's say benevolent dictators. They conquered territories. They civilized these people, or at least they kept them out of the empire, and they provided peace. And to an extent, that's true. There was Pax Romana, the Roman peace, that lasts for a couple hundred years. But that peace was at the cost of those who didn't want to be part of the empire, those who were killed, those who were pushed out. So there's violence. If you look inside this garment of noble righteousness, if you looked inside, you'd see violence. You'd see how many people died for this Roman peace to happen. They viewed themselves as conquerors as well. So not just bringers of peace, but as this mighty army destined by the gods. And you know, in a sense, they're both true. They were a mighty power, and the Roman Empire was strong for centuries and even lasted another 1,000 years. You know, they moved the capital from Rome to Constantinople, and it lasted another 1,000 years. It's an amazing empire, and it did bring peace in some ways. You could travel in the New Testament world without worrying too much about bandits and pirates. Rome did a good job dealing with those, but that's not what life is all about. If all we want is good conditions so that our investments will grow, so that we can have wealth and comfort, then we're no different than the Laodiceans. Laodiceans whom we looked at in the previous I Faith message, who put their faith in this world, they put their stock in money and economic political power instead of in the true King of Kings. No one is worthy to open this scroll but one. Weep no more, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. So in Revelation, the conqueror is not Rome, it's God. Revelation is a contrast between two cities. There's the city of the earth, who's portrayed as a prostitute, Babylon the great harlot, look in chapter 17. And then there's another city. So Rome that's Babylon. And there's the city that's the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven to the earth, and that's God's city. So it's a contrast. There are lots of contrasts. And this is meant to help people to look beyond. Don't just look at the army and the magistrates and the incredible architecture and all the economic benefits. Look beyond this, because this is, in a sense, it's not the full picture of reality. No one is worthy except the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Wow. Between the throne and the four living creatures and among elders, I saw a lamb standing. Okay, so we saw a lion, now it's a lamb, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. We'll get to that in just a moment. So here we see the lamb. It's not your normal lamb. For one reason, because it has seven horns and seven eyes. That corresponds to the seven seals. It shows that the Lamb is up to it. It's suitable. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fall down. We see harps. We saw bowls of prayers. These are not, don't think that these are literal. These are beautiful images, though, and it's important in the scenery. But they fall down because the Lamb is worthy, and he is worthy of worship. And some of you know that the word worth and the word worship are directly connected. It's like worship. When God is worthy, we worship him. And what is this new song? Unfortunately, no one knows the tune. But that's true for all the songs in the Bible, and there are quite a few. Wouldn't that be cool to know how it was originally sung? Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Beautiful imagery. If you've ever seen Handel's Messiah, you'll recognize many of these words. The Lamb that was slain, that is clearly Jesus Christ. The Lamb that was slain and the Lion of the tribe of Judah are one and the same. And he is worthy. And his vision is not just to take a few people from the Middle East. He's going to have a family. There's this great multitude we'll read about in chapter 7 and later, who are from the entire earth. So inclusion in God's family, it's not based on geography or ethnicity. It's not based on economics or politics. It's based on Jesus Christ alone. And those who are willing to submit to him as King of Kings, those who receive the gift of salvation, they're purchased. They have a glorious privilege, which is to be a priestly kingdom, a kingdom of priests reigning on the earth. Whatever that means, somehow we're with God reigning on the earth. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads. A myriad is 10,000, by the way. And thousands of thousands, and saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and in the sea, and all that is in them, saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. In this image, it's breathtaking. Millions of angels begin to sing to the Lamb. Who is the equal of the one on the throne? Nobody. It's a surprise. An imperial Roman would suppose, that the Messiah would be a lion. He would be powerful and regal, noble, and you don't mess with him, and he'll be victorious. A Roman would not have chosen the Lamb. But both images are biblical. And if we only think of the Messiah as a lion, we'll be disappointed. We may feel abandoned. We don't understand the submissive side. We don't understand he's the Prince of Peace. We may not understand many of the prophecies, especially in Isaiah and the Psalms, about Jesus' suffering. But the Lion and the Lamb are one and the same. That's the Jesus we should preach, not just the Lamb. He died for your sins. He won't offend you. It's easy to follow him. You know, we're watering it down. But it's both. Muslims don't get this. They think the Messiah would be a total lion. The Jews don't get this. Those who believe in a Messiah think that, well, of course, he would be a conquering victor. If he had come, Israel would be the number one nation now. And they don't understand. And I know because I talk to their leaders. They don't understand this. But if you will take to heart this message and maybe go back and read Revelation 5 one more time, it's only 14 verses, read it again, you'll see what an incredible Messiah we have. Here's the point. No one is worthy. Jesus alone is worthy. Because we're with him, we are a kingdom of priests. And that gives us confidence. It gives us also a mission. No one's worthy but Jesus alone. We're with him, and that makes us a kingdom of priests. Whatever the future holds, and we don't know, we do know the one who holds the future. Next time, we'll go back to the Old Testament in our next unit, looking at the law of Moses, starting with Leviticus. Thanks for listening.